Save the whale.
Now suck it to me, B.
Love is waiting there in my beautiful balloon. Way up in the air in my beautiful balloon. If you'll hold my hand, we'll chase your dreams across the sky.
Armstrong and Miller starred Sam West, Tony Gardner, Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. It was written by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller, with additional material by Tony Gardner. The producer was Gareth Edwards.
Talk about a big finish. Armstrong and Miller will be sharing school band memories and indulging in a town planning thriller at the same time next week. Now, here's a taster of some of the treats in store this Christmas here on 4 Extra.
Do you hear what I hear?
Well, everybody in town has heard this story many times, but it's a good story.
Jeeves, I'm in love.
Marry? To whom?
I've no idea.
I felt so alone, so desperate.
Cold turkey, turkey pies, turkey rissoles.
I had a horrid conviction that it would rain, and it did.
It would be all wicked paper wrap and coloured string and tags and bows and glitter and surprises.
We dress real casual here, and we dress real warm.
We were speaking of the opera Ghost. And what a tale it is.
By Jove, I'm looking forward to this.
Comedy, drama and entertainment for Christmas. From BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's like a huge pile of tempting boxes under a tree, isn't it? And one of the highlights this Christmas is The Phantom of the Opera, starting on Christmas Day at 6:30 in the evening and again at 12:30. All part of the Seventh Dimension. Now it's time to catch up with what's been going on down the back alleys of Borsetshire in Ambridge Extra, where Donna's heart is all of a flutter.
Orobin!
I'm all right.
Orobin, get up, sort yourself out.
Right, yeah. Oh, I tripped up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, can I go back indoors, boss?
You can't, no.
It was flaming freezing.
I haven't got the resources to let prisoners roam in and out. Once you're out, you're out.
Yeah, right.
Look, lad, you're showing yourself up.
Eh?
This is how it works. If you make yourself out to look weak, you'll be easy picking.
Yeah, I know.
So sort yourself out, pull yourself together, or they'll make your life a living hell. Stand up straight, don't stare at your feet. Be respectful, but not humble.
Eh?
Keep your mouth shut, don't tell anybody your business, don't ask anybody theirs.
Well, that's easy.
And join courses. Do as many as you can sign up for. Keep yourself busy and out of trouble, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay.
You've got a long road ahead of you.
Oh, Clive! Come in.
Thanks.
Poochie, quiet girl. Shh. Go on now, go on. Back to the sitting room. Go on, shoo. Sorry about that. Roses?
Yeah. For you. Gorgeous, aren't they?
They must have cost you a fortune.
Well, you do like them, don't you?
Of course, but, well, I mean...
What?
Roses.
And?
Won't your girlfriend mind? I would.
Truth is, I dumped her. It just wasn't working out.
I see.
Well, come on. Are you going to put them in some water?
Yeah, of course. Come through. I'll leave them in the sink for now.
And? Ta-da!
Oh, I love truffles.
And before you say I wasn't listening, I know you said you was on a Christmas diet, but I reckoned you needed a bit of spoiling before Christmas, after everything you've been through.
It's very kind of you.
Oh, I like this one.
All I want for Christmas.
Sorry, I was just about to go to work.
Hey, what's this?
What?
That quote on the counter.
Oh, it's for a new boiler. This one only works on and off.
I was going to say it's a bit nippy in here. $2,000 for a boiler? They're having a laugh.
I'll have to wait. Try and get through to spring with the old one.
Oh, don't be daft. I'll get you a boiler. Put it in for you too.
But how much will it cost me? I will have...
Keith will see me right when he gets out.
Oh, Clive, thank you so much. That would be a real favour.
I'll do it for you tomorrow.
Didn't get much sleep last night. I know I shouldn't let it all get to me, but...
Listen, Donna. Any more problems and you come straight to me. Right?
That's very kind of you.
Well, I said I'd help you out and I meant it. I'm a man of my word, me.
That's it.
What do you think you're doing?
Well, I told you. It's a trellis for your mother.
Not in the kitchen.
But it's cold in that shed.
Can't you take that little fan heater out there?
Oh, suppose so.
But don't overdo it.
Oh, I know. You don't want me adding to your problems.
Oh, that's cute.
Who's that from?
Sam and Ash.
Look. Very nice.
Yeah. I've enough with the kids and their mess.
Ah.
And that's from Clary and Eddie. Oh, nice of them.
Mwah.
Can you have it tidied up before you take the kids to the carol concert?
Ooh, can't you come?
You know I can't, Dad. Not until the local authority have finished their investigation.
All right, love.
Thanks, Dad. I won't be beaten by that snake, Sarah Martin. Or any of them mums at the school gate, stuck at a bunch of witches. Oh.
What's up?
It's from Mrs. Newell. It's definite. She won't have me back.
Oh, well, that's not fair. Is there nothing you can do?
I only had a monthly contract. Either way, I'll still have to attend an hearing. Oh, what's the point? They got it in for me there anyway. They could stick their job.
Oh, Tracy.
Why is everything so hard, Dad?
Well, it's just life, ain't it?
Why did they have to tell me now, eh? Why couldn't they tell me after Christmas?
I know, love.
With Keith in jail and Susan and Emma and everything. Oh, Dad. All I wanted was a nice Christmas for everybody. Why should that be too much to ask?
Left at the next light.
No probs. So, Donna, what do you reckon?
Sorry?
About going out for something to eat.
I don't know.
Well, it's only a meal. My treat. Be nice to have some interesting company.
Oh?
And even better if it comes wrapped in such a pretty package.
Clive?
Well, it's a fact.
Where to? So as I know what to wear.
What about the ball?
In Ambridge?
Yeah.
But you're not allowed in Ambridge. You're on licence.
Ah...
Oh, was that a joke?
Your face.
Oh.
Oh, you got a really pretty laugh, did you know?
No.
Yeah, your eyes really light up. Oh, you're a lovely woman, Donna. I've always said so.
Oh, thank you.
If I'd had a lovely, sweet woman like you, I'd have never have got myself banged up. My brother always was an idiot.
Hello, girl. Good girl, eh? Good girl. Donna! Donna, love! Has she gone to work, eh, girl? Hey, come on. We'll go for walkies, eh? Walkies? I'll get your lead.
You can pull up anywhere along here, Clive.
Just the job. No,
I can't take any more money off you, Clive.
Now, you get out from behind that counter this afternoon and get their top stylist to do your hair.
I couldn't.
Of course you can, and your nails and all, the works. We'll go to Botticelli's.
Oh, all right, if you're sure.
Oh, yeah, and put that black dress on. You know, the one you wore to Mum's funeral. You looked a cracker in that.
Okay. What time will you...
I'll text you.
Oh. Tracy. Hiya, Donna.
Oh, Tracy. Hello. It's about this afternoon. Can you tell Keith I'm really sorry, but...
You're not coming to visit him?
I'm full of a cold.
You don't sound to me like you're at death's door.
I don't want to pass it on.
Well, he'd rather have you and a cold than neither.
I just don't feel up to it.
Oh, but you're up to shopping. I can hear you outside.
They've sent me home from work.
Can't you take some paracetamol and come anyway? He'll be gutted if you don't turn up.
I can't. Honestly.
Right.
So you'll explain?
I'll have to, won't I?
They won't let me talk for long, Dad. Not at dinner time. Can you just pass me to Donna?
Oh, she ain't here, son.
Where is she?
Well, at work. It's just me and Poochie.
Right.
I come over to take her out. Well, it's really to keep out from under Tracy's feet.
And how are you, Dad?
Ah, you know me.
You keeping well?
Oh, I'm making a willow trellis for your mother, for a climbing rose.
Oh, that's nice. Look, I've got to go. I just wanted to hear a voice, that's all.
Chin up, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, you're seeing Donna later. Well,
she definitely got my visiting order.
As far as I know, Tracy's bringing her.
Something to look forward to, then.
See you later. Whoops. L-A-T-E-R. Kiss. No, kiss. Kiss. I brought you a few things. A couple of magazines and a copy of The Echo.
Thanks.
Keith. She's not coming.
Why?
She's full of cold.
Oh, is she?
So I told her to get to bed with an hot whiskey and lemon and try and sleep it off.
Oh, poor Donna.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for looking after her for me.
It's okay. Keith?
Take no notice. I'm just being daft. Is she okay, though? I mean, apart from having a cold.
As far as I know, yeah.
I mean, what's she doing? I mean, she's never in.
They'll be brushed off their feet in the salon, won't they, this time of year?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And then there's the dog.
Yeah. Look, if she needs anything...
What?
Well, she might be too proud to ask. Will you keep an eye on her for me? Please, Tracy.
Yeah, okay.
It's impossible to have a proper talk on the phone, even if you can get through. Mm. Not with all them lot crowding round you, listening in.
Yeah, I know it's hard.
And they say all kinds of stuff, you know. That'll know when you've not got through to your wife. Saying things about her.
What?
There's... Well, you hear stories. All the blokes whose wives, you know, can't stick it out with their man inside.
Well, don't listen to
them. It goes round in your mind. When you can't sleep for all the moaning and groaning. And now I'll have to wait at least another week until I can see her.
Just mind the hem of your coat there, Donna.
Yes.
Got enough leg room?
I'm fine.
Good. Well, you look beautiful.
Do I?
Black's definitely your colour. Sets off your eyes.
Thanks.
Now, before we set off... Go on. Open it.
But you've done such a lot for me already, and then with the roses...
I told you. You need somebody who knows how to treat a lady.
Well...
Come on.
OK. But no more after this, eh?
Well?
Oh, Clive, it's gorgeous. I've been looking for the right necklace to go with this dress forever. How did you know?
Call it male intuition. Here. Oh, perfect.
Oh, it's lovely.
I hope you're hungry.
Oh, I am. Thank you. Oh, that wasn't supposed to happen.
No?
No.
Are you sure?
But I shouldn't.
Why not? We need some comfort sometimes, don't we?
Yes, but...
I thought we'd grown closer over these last few days.
We have.
And I really get a kick out of helping you out.
You've no idea how much that means to me, but...
Donna! You know I'm attracted to you. I think you are to me, too.
Yes.
You are so hard to resist.
No.
Come on. And I won't tell if you don't.
And why have you left your job at Loxley Barrett, Tracy?
Well, Mrs. Lawrence...
Call me Julie.
OK, Julie. The thing is, I've always worked with food, as you can see from my CV.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really find being a lunchtime supervisor fulfilling. Plus, it didn't leave me with much time.
How's that?
Well, no sooner am I back home after dropping the kids off at school, I have to turn around and go straight back. Then it's home again for a couple of hours and then back to pick the kids up.
OK, so how is this different?
Well, when I'm working evening shifts in the restaurant, my dad can look after the kids and I'll have most of the day to myself.
Right. Now, how would you rate yourself as a team worker, Tracy?
I'm very easy to get on with, and I've always worked in a team environment. Bridge Farm Dairy's a small family-run business, so it was only a small team. But I've worked in bigger teams too, at the pubs and Lower Loxley.
And what would you say were the specific benefits of working as part of a team?
Oh, well, you can help each other out, you know, support each other. You've got people to share ideas with and learn from.
Good. Now, you mentioned Lower Loxley, yet you only worked there for a few months. Why was that?
This friend of mine got me the job there, but...
Did you fall out?
To be honest with you, Julie, I don't think relationships in the workplace are a good thing. You're in each other's pockets 24/7. Once I realised I couldn't work like that, I left.
I see.
So I was glad I kicked that job into touch.
Yes. Gosh.
Do you think I could have a glass of water, please?
Sit down, Clive. I'll get you coffee if you like.
Are you working today?
Oh, I booked it off months ago to do my last-minute Christmas shopping, but, well...
Isn't this better than Christmas shopping? I was just on my way to a job myself, but the truth is, I couldn't get you out of my mind.
Poochie! Thanks again for Tuesday.
You're welcome.
Had a lovely evening.
Yeah, me too.
And I slept so well. The first time in ages I forgot to take my sleeping pills. I didn't even need them.
What's the matter, eh, girl? Come here.
Poochie. Go on, baby, it's only Clive.
Here, girl, come here. Oi!
Poochie, no, heel!
Hey!
She's not used to strangers in here, that's all.
Well, stick her outside.
Outside? But it's freezing.
Well, put her in the kitchen then.
She'll be a good girl now, won't you, baby?
Put her in the kitchen, Donna, eh? How can I concentrate on you properly with that dog giving me the evils?
Okay. Come on, girl. That's it, good girl. Out you go.
Now, come here, gorgeous. I really missed you yesterday. Tell me you missed me too, huh?
Of course I did.
And here at the Old Corn Mill, we're part of a larger organisation which prides itself on customer service of the highest quality. Customer contentment is what drives us. What would you say was the one overriding element in delivering customer satisfaction?
Well, Julie, this might surprise you, but I always say that you can judge a place by the state of the ladies' toilets. Well, you go in some places and they might look okay on the surface, but when you look closer, they're not. Whereas if you go in the ladies' and you find them spotless, and there are lovely little soaps and hand cream and paper towels, or even little towel in squares, then you know the old place is top class throughout.
Actually, that's a very interesting point.
Thanks.
All right.
Also, I think the other thing is that staff should remember that people don't just come for something to eat. They want an experience, the perfect date or meeting or whatever. They want to feel like they're important and worth looking after.
Yes, I think that's exactly right.
But by someone who's respectful, inconspicuous.
That's right.
I can't do with those places where the staff tell you their name and try to get to know you. I want a waiter, not a new best friend.
Right. Well, if you're happy with the pay and conditions...
Oh, I am.
I'd be very happy to offer you the job.
Oh, that's brilliant. When do you want me to start?
We need you to start as soon as possible. We'll be very busy over the next few weeks.
That suits me.
Great. Well, it just remains for me to take up your references at the school. Who should I contact?
Tracy, where are you?
I'm still in Borchester.
I thought you'd have been home by now. It's nearly dinner time.
Yeah, oh, it won't be long.
How did you get on, love? I expected you to ring.
I didn't get it.
Oh, I am sorry, love. What went wrong?
The interview went really well, but then she asked about references.
Well, you knew she might.
I thought I'd be able to wing it. I had to tell her not to contact Mrs. Newell. I couldn't risk her saying I'd lost my temper with the kids.
You didn't.
But what I know doesn't matter, does it? Anyway, her face fell a bit when I said no about Mrs. Newell. But I...
Tracy? I think you're breaking up a bit.
Oh, no. I'm still here, Dad. Look, I've only got another 20 minutes on my car and I've got to go to Underwoods yet. I'll tell you the rest when I get home.
Oh, that was lovely. Ta.
Good. Glad you enjoyed it. I'm sorry, but she's been locked out for long enough. Oh. Come on, then.
Oh. What?
You just kicked Poochie.
Of course I didn't.
But
I was standing up and she got under me foot.
No, you kicked her.
Are you calling me a liar? Donna?
No.
Well, let's not fall out, eh?
Sorry.
Because I've got some money for you. Towards a mortgage.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
We're okay, aren't we?
Yeah.
Great. Oh, come on, babe. I want us to spend some quality time together before I go back to work.
Okay.
That's better. Emmy?
Yeah?
I've been thinking. Here I am, throwing good money away on renting a flat. I could move in here with you. You need the mortgage paying and I could do the full whack every month. And when the time's right, well, you could even put me on the mortgage.
What?
And then you wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. Great. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, brew us a cup of tea, eh?
Ooh. I don't believe it.
It's only a sprained wrist.
How did you do it?
I was standing on that little stool in the shed to reach the box with the drill bits.
What are you like?
I wobbled. Put out my arm to save me.
Well, I'll give the nurse a ring at the health centre. She'll tell me how best to dress it. And keep it up. Here, you can use my scarf.
Oh, well, that's better. Thanks, Tracy, love.
You should have shouted Gary to get the box. Or waited till I got here.
Well, he wanted to get on with putting that trellis up.
Well, you can stop messing about with it. I want you in here from now on where I can keep an eye on you.
But you said
I... Just do it, will you, please? First you collapse, now this.
All right.
What do you want for your dinner? Will soup do for today?
Come and sit down, love. You look all in.
It's been one of them days. Oh, I cancelled Brad's present. I made up some story about him changing his mind, but she knew I was skint. The look she gave me. Then she wouldn't give me back my deposit money.
And what did you say?
Nothing. I didn't have the energy.
And what happened about your references?
Eh?
For the job. You never finished that story.
Well, top and bottom, I couldn't give the woman anybody's name for a reference. When I thought about it, Darius at the Feathers is no good either. Not after me giving him a mouthful when I left. And the others, well...
Well, never mind. You'll find something.
I can't see it. Not the way things are round here.
Hey, chin up.
I just don't know how it all happened. One minute I had a nice job, handy, no awkward customers or sleazy punters to deal with. Next minute, just because I gave that snooty teacher a piece of my mind.
Clive?
Hmm?
This talk about moving in, don't you think this is all going a bit fast?
We've known each other for years.
Not in this way. And I'm really sorry, but I don't think we should. You know, it's not right.
It's good, isn't it? I seem to recall you enjoyed yourself very much the other night.
Look, Clive, I was thinking perhaps we should have a break for a couple of days or so over Christmas.
What?
Just so I can get my head round it all.
So, what are you planning to do about next month's mortgage? Go back to that scumbag loan shark?
No.
Because you know he'll put his rates up even higher if you have to beg for a loan.
Could you pass me my phone, please?
Oops. Sorry.
But it might have been Keith.
You ring back?
Can I have my phone back, please?
Looks knackered to me. Why don't I keep hold of it and sort you out with a new one in town this afternoon, eh? And when I get back, I'm sure you can think of a nice way to thank me.
Where do you think you're off to?
Tracy.
Oh, Dad. Not the shed. Not while your wrist is bad.
No peace for the wicked.
Do me a favour, eh, and see if there are any jobs in the Echo.
All right.
Can you get the door, Gary? I'll look online.
There's one or two.
Yeah?
Bar work. Evenings, it looks like.
Oh, I'll take anything, Dad. I'll have to.
Not disturbing, am I?
Oh, come in, Donna, love. Hello, Poochie. Oh, let's have a look at you, then.
Take your coat off. I'll put the kettle on.
I don't want tea. I wonder, can I have a word?
Yeah, you come and sit down, Donna. Me and this little girl, we can have a walk up to the bull, eh? Come on, girl. Come on, that's it. Come on.
I've got a bit of a problem.
Tell me about it. I just lost my job.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to hear that.
Not sorry as I was.
You see, the thing is, Tracy, you know how short of money I've been?
Don't. I can't even start to think how I'll manage after Christmas when the bills start coming in.
I know.
They don't want anybody at your place, do they? I can wash heads, mix colours, stuff like that.
I don't think so.
Would you ask for me?
Yeah, OK.
No harm in asking.
Tracy, I've gone and got mixed up with Clive.
How do you mean?
He's moving in.
You what?
We went out for a meal and he bought me a Christmas present. And
what do you mean exactly? Mixed up?
At first, I just let him kiss me.
You did what? You are unbelievable. Your husband's only been inside for a few weeks and already you're going behind his back with his own brother.
It's not like that.
What is it like then?
It's complicated. I can't explain.
And you're moving Clive in. Is this your sick idea of family loyalty?
No.
No wonder you need sleeping pills. I wouldn't be able to live with myself, never mind sleepless nights.
Tracy, please, listen to me.
I'm not listening to any more of this. You disgust me. I'm going in the front room to check on the kids, and I don't want to see you here when I get back.
In Ambridge Extra, Tracy Horobin was played by Susie Riddell, Donna Horobin by Alison Belbin, Bert Horobin, Martin Reed, Clive Horobin, Alex Jones, Keith Horobin, Sean Connolly. That's the end of the Horobins. Now Julie Lawrence, Tracy Briggs, and the prison officer, Greg Hobbs. Ambridge Extra was written by Carol Simpson Salazzo Horobin, and the director was Peter Leslie Wild Horobin. It was produced by Sarah Bradshaw, and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn Horobin. Next week, what is Donna's long-term plan? And can Tracy help? Well, events are reaching a dramatic conclusion, and you can hear them on Tuesday and Thursday afternoons at 2:15, or in the omnibus edition of Ambridge Extra Horobin at this time next week.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now on 4 Extra, we head back to December 2001, a time when Linda Smith was in festive mood. So festive, in fact, that she made a visit to the World Cracker Pulling Extravaganza.
What is the difference between unlawful and illegal? Unlawful is against the law, illegal is a sick bird.
According to a source in the early 20th century, crackers for spinsters, who are described as those estimable single ladies being allotted faded flowers, a nightcap, a wedding ring, and a bottle of hair dye. I imagine they would have been thrilled.
If you listened yesterday, you'll recall that our exploration of the Christmas cracker had taken us up to 1860, at which point the cracker really became the cracker, rather than just being a wrapped sweet with a motto, when London confectioner Tom Smith invented the bang. But a wrapped sweet motto and bang still isn't the cracker we know today. Even the bang didn't keep Tom ahead of the competition for long. Other manufacturers just copied it. He had to widen the market, appeal to a bigger range of people. And to do that, in a stroke of genius, he ditched the bit that had been the very starting point, the sweet. Christine Lalumia of London's Jeffrey Museum.
Instead of sugared almonds, though, crackers were then filled with toys or novelty items, or perhaps gifts, and the quality of the cracker determined the quality of the gift inside, and they ranged from the perfectly tawdry and badly made up to the very valuable and quite special.
Then we have a slightly smaller set of crackers. In fact, they could be described as miniature. They're probably by Tom Smith, 1920s, but we've got some tiny objects from them as well. There's a seabird, I think, of some description, with a very long beak. It's got a fairly solid body and a beautifully long-shaped beak, brown beak at the end, a little pink dot on its head, and these lovely paper wings, which are actually cut out remarkably well. And a little black piece of paper on the back to denote some black feathers. But it is really beautiful. It's only about a centimetre long.
That was Catherine Howell, a curator at the Bethnal Green Museum of Childhood, describing a rather more exotic gift than the sewing kit that usually falls out of my cracker on Christmas Day. By having gifts instead of sweets, suddenly Tom Smith could produce a whole range of crackers to appeal to many different markets, not just the men who were buying crackers for women as had been up till then. Even now, the choice of what you put in is a major part of the cracker maker's art. Harold Daigle is managing director of Napier's, one of Britain's biggest cracker manufacturers.
We form a range in about September, October, and it's at that point that we decide what contents will go into those boxes. And obviously, with our expertise, I think we're usually right. We should know what goes into a family box. We should know what goes into an adult box. And we think we know what most people would like to find in a box of crackers.
And as Joe Perkis, who runs the present Tom Smith brand, sorts through the different boxes of gifts, you can even hear the difference. The cheap end.
And we've got things from magic fish to model kits, little play model kits, spinners.
And the chink of the expensive.
A photo frame. Ooh, a cosmetic brush set. Oh, a calculator. Pens, money clips, some teaspoons.
So how do they know what to put in their crackers? These days you'd expect market research and focus groups who would probably come up with a new name for Christmas crackers, like Yule Signia. But no, it's just instinct.
The longer you are in this business, the more you begin to understand and know what people would want. It's a feeling that you get. It's something that comes naturally to you.
and it's evidently been coming naturally for many years. Some cracker gifts prove just irresistible, even to highly trained and disciplined museum curators. Catherine Howell.
We have a little set here, and some of these have been opened up, fortunately, so we can see what's inside. And here we've got a little set of, well, they're not really panpipes, it's two pipes stuck together. Obviously a musical instrument. I'll give it a little blow and see what happens.
Ooh. Catherine Howell there, in search of that elusive blue note, man. Now, it's part of the thesis of this symposium that the huge appeal of crackers has got something to do with the cultural resonances of their different bits. The wrapper, the bang, the gift, the hat, and the joke. Well, it isn't part of our thesis, to be honest, but it is part of Professor Michael Hitchcock's thesis. He's an anthropologist from the University of North London, and gift-giving gets him into deep water.
Oh, this is very complicated because the business of gift-giving is and can be very ritualistic indeed. One of the